Radio Influence. Podcasting redefined.
Good afternoon, everyone. It is July 2nd, 2021, and you're listening to the Friday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Independence Day Val and
Beans.
You know Happy Independence Day, everybody.
Yeah, it's going to be a good weekend. You know what I saw this morning, Frank, that really just made me very, very sad?
What?
Someone shared Mark Dice asking Americans what the 4th of July stood for.
Oh, I know. I've seen it, and he's done a few of those over the years, too.
So sad.
Oh, it's bad. It's really bad. So getting any of these people to ever actually even fathom that the 2nd of July is actually is Independence Day.
Don't confuse them.
That's just another level of like, what? Wait, what?
Don't confuse people.
It's just sick.
Confuse people. I'm going to play some of it in a second. But first, I want to tell everyone what happened to me. On Wednesday, and still to this day, actually, I got bit by something on Tuesday night, Frank. I don't know what it was. It was around 9:30 or so. I was in bed and I'm just scratching my knee, right? And I'm like, ugh, mosquitoes, right? Because it's summertime in South Carolina. Mosquitoes everywhere. I go to sleep. I wake up. I get out of bed. I walk to the bathroom. I'm like, what is wrong? I look down. I'm telling you, my knee is the size of a softball. Huge. I showed Will. Will was like, you need to go to the doctor. And I was like, really? You think? I was
yes.
Like,
you must go to the doctor.
I went to my dad's house, my mom and dad's house. And my dad was like, get to the doctor now. So I was like, okay, I'll go, Dad. And I went. They don't know what bit me, but they did a sonogram and they looked at my knee and
it's
like.
It's pregnant.
It is. It was pregnant. All right. That's for sure. And then they were like, here, you need to take these really, really potent antibiotics for 5 days, 1,000 milligrams a day. And I was like, I don't think I want to do that. I don't like antibiotics, especially not this antibiotic. It's one of the ones that messes with your tendons.
Oh.
Yeah.
God.
So the doctor called me to follow up and I said, I don't really react well to this medicine. And then she's like, well, it wasn't the doctors or staff. She's like, well, let me check and see, you know, what we can do. And they called back and said, take it anyway. And I said, no effing way. If you have any problems, call us back. I'm like, I'm telling you, I have problems already. So I made the decision not to take that and to go the herbal route.
So what did you do with the herbs?
Well, I have two herbs that my nutritional health specialist gave me to take. I'm going to tell you what they are because it's really interesting what's happening with this right now. So I felt fine. Like the swelling went down. You know how the swelling went down? First of all, I took Benadryl. I had to take Benadryl. And that's why I didn't do a show because I was knocked the hell out all day long from that Benadryl. I just don't tolerate medicine very well. I just don't. So I put activated charcoal on it, Frank.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
Yeah. I put activated charcoal and I use something called Andrographis to make the paste with. It's like an immune liquid. So I use that. And then she gave me astragalus root and something called Nosode.
I don't know any of that stuff. It's just the charcoal.
Yeah, it's like a tincture. It's like lime and co-infection herbals. And she told me when I took them, she's like, you might experience something called die-off, whether you have a chronic infection that you just don't know about because your body is just tolerating it and this whatever bacteria is just living in you, like a Lyme or some kind of other immune disease that your body just doesn't recognize and fight or whatever it does. Or if you've got an infection from whatever bit you, you'll feel this, but it's called die-off. Have you ever heard of this before?
Never. I've heard of things like a cleansing crisis. Maybe it's something along those lines where, especially if you do, some sort of a gut cleanse or colon cleanses or anything like that, that along the way, anything you do to really speed up detoxification process of any part of your body or any system within your body can actually make you feel like trash over the course of those first 72 hours. But, and that's usually because you're just detaching the stuff from your insides and passing it and all that. So yep. I've heard of cleansing crisis. Maybe it's the same thing.
It is. It's called Herxheimer reaction. Okay. And it's what happens when your body is cleansing whatever has died inside of you that is toxic, that has been living there, and you get, you know, you have an immune response to it as your body cleanses it out and your organs get to work filtering it. So I'm going through that right now. I feel, I don't have a fever. I don't feel sick like I have a cold or anything like that. I just feel run down and...
Are you sure? Are you sure you weren't bitten by the Delta variant?
I might have been bitten by the Delta variant. I don't know. It's deadly from what they say.
I'm surprised that you didn't, in bed, you didn't say, Will, you need to suck out the venom.
It's the Delta variant. It's coming through.
Delta variant, please.
Help me. Help me. Anyway, so that's what I went through over the past couple days. So I'm good, but just bear with us here.
Okay.
So let's play a little bit of Mark Dice. Oh, and by the way, we have Seth Keschel joining us for the second half of the show with some really hardcore, he's good information. He's just
very good.
Yeah, he's an analyst and he's really good at what he does. And he's helpful for people in states and organizations in states that want to run forensic audits, but they need the data points to start that process. So here's Mark Dice.
Celebrating 4th of July?
Yes, I do.
And what do we celebrate on the 4th of July?
Independence.
What started it?
I'm not too sure.
No. Long time ago, history class, 5th grade, they said something started this whole 4th of July celebration. What was it?
I'm guessing like winning over freedom in America?
Close maybe. Enough.
I don't know.
You don't know?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure? I'm not sure. It started because we broke away from a certain country, right?
Yeah.
Right. What country was that?
I gotta go, man.
You don't know. What country did we declare independence from to create this great country?
Oh, this is bad. This is bad of me.
Yeah, you're worthless.
Ready for the 4th of July?
Yeah, we are.
What country did we declare independence from?
America. Man, I forgot, man.
I forgot.
You forgot? Okay.
Yeah, man. Yo, man. I don't remember.
Where is he doing this? Where is he doing this interview? At Opium Den?
It looks like it, but no, he's at the beach, believe it or not. Look, this is a man in his probably 50s or 60s. Listen to this.
Here was the Declaration of Independence signed. 1856?
Good one.
Or 1756.
Oh. 1756.
Maybe.
When John Wilkes Booth and Karl Marx signed the Declaration of Independence to start this country, what year was that?
1492.
Good one.
When Karl Marx signed.
Yeah, and John Wilkes Booth.
I'm laughing only because of how effed we truly are. If this is what
it's the only, and I say, well, hey, there are millions and millions of people in this country who could answer correctly. But you know, when you just do a light survey of people outside, you can start getting a pretty decent understanding as to why it's possible to create the kind of lives that we're living right now.
They don't even understand what their freedom is to know it's gone. Like if they don't Like if they don't understand the founding of our country and how,
well, I mean, here's the thing. This is why I feel like it's even worse than that. To understand the founding of the country and what the war for independence was really about is actually so nuanced. There's so many things on in there that I mean, it would be impossible for any of these people to understand if they couldn't even tell you from which superpower of the day we broke away from. If you can't even talk about, if you can't even properly name the players involved in the play, then you're never going to understand taxation without representation.
Oh.
You're not going to understand the Stamp Act, the Tea Act. You're not going to understand tariffs and royal colonies and what really the independence was all about. I mean, it really wasn't very much even a revolution. That's why I try to train myself to talk about war for independence, because when you think about what the revolution was about, you would say that they were asking for something completely different from what we already had. But the relationship we had with Great Britain was actually not too far off from what was established after the war had concluded. It's just that Britain was reneging on all of on a lot of their promises about what this relationship between these colonies were going to be with the mother country and their level of autonomy, and how Britain was only going to be there to provide defense and on the frontiers and over shipping lanes and regulating international trade, while mostly everything else was just up to the whatever people there and the governors were going to find to be appropriate for what's going on at home. And then they started applying tariffs and taxes to certain products and not others, and picking winners and losers, much like what we have today again, uh-huh. You know, mercantilism and all that crap. So you want to talk about, and then of course we get on into the violation of what people would call civil rights. Lexington and Concord really was kicked off because of the attempt to take away arms and to seize munitions there locally, and people did not want to be disarmed. So there's a whole mess of things that are coming on into the fray here that would all led up into this signing of the Lee Resolution on July 2nd, 1776. But if you think that anybody is going to be able to absorb even 5% of that and then be able to apply that to our lives in the present in any kind of relative terms, if they can't even identify the players, then I think you understand why we are so much more deeply effed
than we were
than you think we are, just by listening to these zonked out losers.
Here, wait. Huh.
Well, that is a date in history, but it's not when there was a certain document that was signed that started this country. What was that?
I don't remember when the Declaration of Independence was signed. It's probably 1600s somewhere.
When Lee Harvey Oswald and Karl Marx signed the Declaration of Independence to start this great country, what year was that?
I'm assuming the 1800s.
Oh, Lord in heaven.
You're just assuming.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a history person.
Oh, Lord.
But they understand. But at the same time, they understand the world and they understand right and wrong. And we need to follow their lead. And if we don't agree with them, then we're obviously knuckle dragging bigots. It's obvious, isn't it?
I mean, yeah, I know. I know. I've been trying to go through kind of in denial that I'm a knuckle-dragging bigot, but how can you be this stupid and be excited about it? I don't understand. I don't. So there's that. And then, like I said in the interview that we're going to do in a few minutes, Frank, the White House, and here their little GIF that they, or GIF, or however you say it, that they have planning a cookout this year. Catch up on the news. Get it? Catch up.
Yeah.
According to the Farm Bureau, the cost of a 4th of July barbecue is down from last year. It's a fact you must hear. And then they put D in parentheses. I don't get it. I don't get it.
I don't get that either.
Hot dog. The Biden economic plan is working, and that's something we can all relish.
Definitely written by a woman, by the way.
Oh, God. It's probably Jen Psaki.
Yeah, no, it's definitely written by a woman. And did you see the new report? I don't know. I guess some people think it's in itself is a victory, but over half of the White House staff now is female.
Oh, no.
It's a very, very big 4th of July victory.
That's a problem.
Oh, we've got...
Look.
That's it. The balance of power has been tipped from penis to vagina.
That's a problem.
That's all we needed. That's what this country was needed. We needed less peni.
I gotta say, as a woman, I do not approve. I don't. Call me whatever you want. We need men in majority in that building. Just my opinion. I really do believe that. I'm not like saying that women can't do it, but I can tell you most women, 90% of them, there are probably 10% that are not like this and they all listen to us, Frank. They can't handle it. They will cry and they will be vindictive and they will be snotty and they will let their menstrual cycle determine their attitude. And I'm sorry, it's just true. And I'm allowed to say it. It's almost like when black people come out and call each other racist. They're black. They're allowed. I'm a woman. I'm allowed.
Well, hey, all I'll say is I'm not even making assumptions because they are very, very in love with media. They're very in love with any kind of opportunity they get to address the public. And we see, we can read these press releases. We watch these press conferences. We see what happens when they go on to these CNN and MSNBC shows, of course, all hosted by women as well, and sit down to just babble. And we see the demeanor, the body language, the word salad, very impressed with themselves, very snarky. They can't stand being pushed back on in even the most innocuous of ways. They start getting triggered right there because they can't hold back.
They can't even tell, though, Frank, that this turned even their supporters off. They're that tone deaf.
Well, I mean, this is the kind of people you're going to push on out. You push out weak, sniveling men who step aside for angry, bitter women who have been all simultaneously taught. One side has been taught that you are a rapist in waiting that needs to slow your roll and stand in the corner until somebody needs a heavy box lifted. And then you have the other side, which is full of women who are told that they were, you know, their chances of doing anything worthy of their time in life is going to be limited because of other people. And you have this chip on your shoulder. It's like original sin. So everybody grows up damaged. And then we have these press conferences where people like Jen Psaki, who are literally like just 43-year-old, 13-year-olds, that are standing there, and that's it. It's just all manifest.
But
all of that abuse that we get growing up from these propagandists is manifest in these broken, underdeveloped adults.
But now they take the broken, underdeveloped adults you just talked about, the women ones. And they tell them, you're not even allowed to compete in your sports anymore. We're going to bring men in to compete against you.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're okay. They're okay with this. To think about any one spot in a national championship, in an Olympics game or anything like that, anything, an all-state competition, that any one spot for a woman could have been given up and given to a man, for that to be applauded and praised by these same people, you're like, wow, there is really no intellectual autonomy here. This is just they're pre-programmed biocomputers. And I don't know, whoever wrote their code was drunk or high.
Seriously, and there's new reports out today, too, just to talk about that. Hunter Biden, who's allowed to do anything he wants. It's literally, there are pictures, apparently, Frank, of, forget the sexual stuff. That is not, that, whatever. I mean, we all know that that's as bad as it is. Like someone said, there was a joke online. It was really hot in Oregon and stuff over the past week. Like they had a heat wave 104. Somebody put up a meme that said it's hotter than a spoon in Hunter Biden's apartment.
Yeah, there you go. Spoon so hot it bends.
But this, they're saying Another concerning accusation that Biden had a cozy relationship with Hunter Biden's overseas business associates has surfaced. The latest allegation claims that Joe Biden, when he was vice president, had direct contact with his son's billionaire associates from Mexico, according to content reportedly discovered on Hunter's laptop that was abandoned at a... It's still giving! It's the gift that keeps giving, this laptop.
Yeah, but listen, Tracy, the Trump Organization has some outstanding parking tickets, and they're all going down.
Yes. Yeah, the poor guy that just got indicted under, like, his attorney was like Marsha Clark in that Dana Carvey special. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Never in my life. He was like, I've never seen anything like this before. There's never, ever, ever been a criminal case like this in history, ever. They've like invented things now.
And to see that goofy doofus dodo bird, Michael Cohen, sitting on CNN with Allison Camerota again. Allison Camerota giving him the same serious face that she gives David Hogg when she asks a five-year-old what he thinks about the world. And he's sitting there, oh, they're coming for the kids too. And then you look on into it, it's like they didn't pay taxes on like fringe benefits and stuff like that. That's what you're going after them with. Do you know if they're convicted, they're probably going to have to pay a fine or something?
Oh, there's no jail time?
I mean, I don't know. From what I'm reading, this is like what the hell can really – I don't know. But it's just one of those things where they'll throw everything they can behind this. The New York DA, for them to really just throw down everything they can to make this this attempt to demoralize Trump supporters. That's really what it's all about. They're trying to demoralize Trump supporters again. And – you think about how his life has been splayed out. His associates have been scoured over for the last 5 years now by both state attorneys, federal, special counsel, illegal spy operations. I mean, you had the entire intelligence community pining through this guy's life to try to see what the hell they can make stick. And still, here we are in 2021. There's no Russia. There's no Ukraine quid pro quo. There's nothing except this is what they got.
I know.
Oh, my
God.
Some
stupid tax charges against the CFO of a company that's been in business for 40 something years.
So, yeah. So I look at this and I see how people are who, of course, are virulent. And they just want anything. And I see how excited they are. Like, you know what? I mean, Godspeed. It's your life. If you want to be this pathetic of a loser, I mean, it's your life.
What is Seth Abramson saying? Let me go see real quick.
Yeah.
Seth Abramson has been on the ball, putting it all together. Yeah, sure. Seth Abramson is the liberal Glenn Beck. He just spins elaborate conspiratorial hope porn for his audience and moves on to the next story when a theory collapses.
I don't know, Tracy. The energy. I said it last night. I have to bring it up tonight on the show. Maybe I get some good calls in tonight. And I was going to go live tomorrow night. Something tells me that I just need to take the evening off and just maybe do a Saturday night show on the 10th instead. But the energy is so thick and tense. There's a tension that I can't put my finger on, and I see it. I don't know if it has anything to do with the phases of the moon, because there's technical. I had a technical disaster last night on my show with broadband, and it was just awful. And then there's this thing going through the chat rooms.
Mm-hmm.
All over the place. Not even just in chat rooms associated with my show or anything. There is just this, I don't know what the hell.
It's almost like a wave of bots.
Bots, divisiveness. You would think that anybody that consumes the stuff that we do or is interested in the questions that we like to ask and we like to ponder would understand that it's already a win that you are watching the same thing as so many other people, more so than ever before, and that you would take an opportunity to make new friends and point people into new directions as far as, hey, you know, check out, and also check out this topic. It really goes hand in hand with this. Instead, there is this combative pitting people against each other type of stuff, splitting alliances. And as we already know, there's such a concerted effort announced even by the Pentagon of these digital armies that are going into chat rooms and comment sections. We've seen the FBI out themselves doing the same thing. And then, of course, there's also just individual operators that I have to imagine. I got rid of my Telegram chat room. I just kept the Telegram portal just to send information out and all that. Got rid of the chat room because people were just so nasty to each other.
Yep.
And I have no time to moderate chats. I'm not going to start drama by kicking out individual people. So the chat room goes away. And it's just going to be a place for information. I'm more and more. It's just, I don't know if we're just moving through a phase. And I just hope that people find the strength to just keep their focus on the straight and narrow. And I hate the attacks that go on. I really do.
Yeah, if everybody could just mind their own business and do their thing. Like, I personally spend zero time focused on attacking people in our midst, whoever they are. Zero time, ever. I never talk about anybody. Ever.
I reserve all of my ire for
the left.
For movement leaders in the world. And that is because, A, they have established themselves in the media and in public view in such a way. They have a lot of money behind them. They have been given a certain level of status. They are not vulnerable people.
Yep.
And what they do is so over the top manipulative that comes on down and trickles down very quickly to people all around us, people that we actually have connections with, or at least did before this operation to divide and conquer has been, you know, upgraded in such a crazy way in the last couple of years. So that's why I really do direct all my ire toward those types of people. But as far as, you know, drama, gossip, stuff like that,
stupid.
No.
Stupid.
It is stupid.
It's really stupid. Like, I've never done it. I never have, and I just won't. I never will. I'm just not doing it, so.
And not to say that I brought this up because I think that there is a person, it's based on drama or gossip of one person or another. I'm just saying there is a faceless tension.
Yep.
That is building.
I agree.
And I don't know where the hell it's coming from.
I totally agree with you. Totally agree with you. Yep. Well, we'll get to talk to Seth now, Frank, and we'll close out the show, and then we will see everyone back here on Monday after the 4th of July celebrations. You have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast, but don't forget, at the end of this little talk I'm doing right now, we will hear Seth Keschel talking about voter integrity efforts. So see you on Monday.
See you later.
So we are joined by the most recent addition to Telegram, but somebody I've known for quite a while, Seth Keschel. Seth, thank you so much for being with us today.
Hey, good morning, Tracy. Thanks for having me in.
You have been doing, I met you during the tumultuous time after the election, and you've been putting out a number of really awesome bits of information, videos, etc., about election fraud and the mathematics behind it a lot of the time. Tell everyone like what your basic premise is for the work you've been doing.
So I'm an analyst. You know, people come to me all the time and they want to know, hey, what's going on? Like, what's going to happen with these states? You know, when's Trump going to be reinstalled? My whole purpose is to give people the ammunition they need, not literal ammunition, but the figurative analytical ammunition that they need to justify locally where they are, why forensic audits are needed, and they're needed almost everywhere. I've only found about 10 states that look to me like they progressed normally, as in our presidential elections, how they normally go. So my information is not polling based. It's not anything crazy based. It's just open source intelligence that is analyzed to show where trends have been seriously disturbed. Any bellwethers, indicators, or historical trends, some of them going back 124 years, where those have been upset. And that is the justification that we need for forensic audits everywhere. That is what I specialize in.
So can you tell us a little bit about your background in case people don't know?
Yep, I'm an Army intelligence officer veteran. I was a captain in the Army for six, I was an officer in the Army for 6 years and left the service as a captain. And intelligence officers, you know, a lot of people think that we're James Bond. We're not really James Bond, but it's kind of fun to let people on the outside think that you are. But, you know, a lot of us are skilled in analytics. We've got a background in understanding the enemy, understanding terrain, understanding how to look at things from a high level and summarize it, and also how to direct operations at the lower level. So in some of these places, delegated responsibility to people to figure out at their state level how to best go about, you know, with the local knowledge, with the relationships that are developed with the local legislatures. And intelligence officers are pretty useful if they know what they're talking about, which is a big if. So I was an Army intelligence officer and I got out. And after the election, I bounced around in corporate America. But after the election, I had all of my information about these states ready to go. I made some waves in 2016. I predicted all 50 states correctly. And then in 2020, I went through the same assessments. And my assessment showed me that not only was Trump on pace to be reelected, he was on pace to win very large landslides in the contested states up in the upper Midwest and in the Rust Belt. And when the election went sideways on election night, I had all this information in front of me. And a couple of days later, I decided I was going to put that in the bloodstream. And I reached out on LinkedIn of all platforms to General Flynn, and I flooded his inbox with all of my work. And then within a couple of weeks, I'd met the general, and he put me to work on his team fighting this election fraud.
So that's where I got to talk with you for the first time, kind of just going over all this stuff, feeding you information where you needed it and you know what I mean? So that we could get down to it. But you've been doing some great analysis. So pick, I don't know, what are some of the states that people have been throwing at you? Like maybe some of the, well, let's do this. Talk about bellwethers first and what they are. That video that you did is absolutely incredible. And then talk about some of the states that you're seeing anomaly in that are just off the beaten path, not what you'd expect.
Okay. So bellwethers are indicators, and maybe Tracy, you can post the link to that bellwethers video. It's a very short video that General Flynn really liked and put out there.
Yep.
But a bellwether is an indicator. So in elections, bellwethers can take the form of counties or groups of states. So for instance, Florida, North Carolina, Ohio, and Iowa. Since 1896, those four states have been won by the same candidate 13 times. And all 13 times, if they're won by the same candidate, no matter which party that candidate is from, that candidate has won the election and become president or been reelected. And in counties, there are 19 counties that since 1980, from 1980 to 2016, those counties have accurately predicted the winner of the presidential election every time. So all 19 counties went to the winner. In 2016, Trump won all 19 of those. And in 2020, Trump won 18 of 19 of those counties. Now, some bellwethers fail to predict the winner of the election every year, and that was true in 2016, but there have been the 19 that have been true since 1980, and Trump carried 18 of those, and somehow is not president. So these are an example of the indicators, bellwethers, and trends that all blew up on election night. Trump also carried Ohio, North Carolina, Florida, and Iowa, and this is the only time in 124 years where someone has won all four of those states and supposedly not been elected. As far as what people are looking for, of course, we get the core six, Arizona, Nevada, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. Those are the ones that everybody's talking about. And an example of what we're looking at is Arizona. We know about the gross examples of misbehavior and misconduct in the administrations of these elections, whether we're boarding up counting facilities or faking pipe bursts in Georgia or in Arizona, any of the Sharpie-related incidents that we're talking about. I have affidavits showing that Maricopa County mailed out ballots to people who are ineligible to vote, like people that are in prison. So in Arizona, it's not so much that we're even leaning on those things to justify why we have this forensic audit going on, but the massive amount of Democrat vote growth, which is unforeseen in history at all, especially with Trump, with a massive historic Republican vote gain in the county after that county has been red for the last 72 years. So, you know, I guess with the logic of the left, we have a 250,000 vote gain for Trump just so he can lose the county for the first time in 72 years.
Yeah, so none of it makes sense. Yeah. It just doesn't make any sense. Like, it's going, it's all of these, like, anomalies happening at the same time. So outside of all the bellwether stuff, you still got all this going on.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of states out there. So I had a call yesterday with some members of the Maryland legislature. So there's a number of blue states in states that Trump did not win that are heavily fraudulent. And the only reason that this would have been the case is if you're going to take away Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, which are, these are not liberal states. So these people here, a lot of them may vote Democrat, or their family roots are in the unions, Democrat vote, but this is not liberal land. These are gun-toting, beer-drinking, Steelers-watching, working-class people. And, you know, if you're going to justify what happened in the middle of the night in Wisconsin and Michigan, and then over 3 days in Pennsylvania with Trump holding an 800,000 vote lead on election night, then you can't allow for states like Washington or Oregon, which are also very dubious states, to be within single digits or 5 points. You can't have a steal in Pennsylvania and say, hey, Trump was only 5 points out in Washington. So you had a very big national wave that impacted blue states towards red. Now, I'm not saying that they were all won by Trump, but Minnesota, I'm almost positive, was legitimately won by Donald Trump. Virginia and New Mexico, I believe, to be extremely close. So you have a lot of states outside of the core six that are absolutely victims of strange trends.
So how did, was it all in the same method? Because, you know, we hear this all the time. There's so many different methods that there for fraud. There's the packet capture that Lindell is talking about with the machines. There's, you know, double voting, double scanning, adjudication. You know, there's all different ways that people have skewed this vote, you know, regardless. How did they do it in these states? Was it just machine? Was it people? How do you think that they did it in the states that you're talking about, like Montana, for example, or Minnesota? I'm sorry.
Right. Well, Montana is also very bad. Funny enough, there's a lot of states that Trump won, like Montana, South Carolina, Texas, North Carolina, that have horrific numbers suggesting systemic fraud. Depending on what counties you're in, the behavior is different. So if you're in a Democrat machine county, as I call them, like Philadelphia County, Pennsylvania, Milwaukee County, Wisconsin, you're going to be dealing with stuffing paper ballots, the good old-fashioned ballot stuffing. Counterfeit ballots, votes from dead people, which are documented. General Flynn likes to say that there's more fraudulent votes from dead people in Pennsylvania than there are battlefield dead buried in the ground at Gettysburg, which is very sobering and very – it's very sad to hear that, because Gettysburg obviously is the site of a horrendous few days in American history. But so you have ballot stuffing going on, votes from dead people, registration rolls not being cleaned up. And in red counties, you know, there is definitely some stuff like that going on. We've got a county here in Texas. I'm not going to spill which one yet, but the county reported 10 ballots cast from a single residence. And then, you know, upon further investigation, we have three ballots that were actually cast from there when asking the residents of that address.
And so that's what they're trying to stop in Arizona. That's one of their big pushes, is to stop the canvassing. Is that something that people are doing, like, organically in the groups that you've kind of worked with across the country? And have you also been working very closely with state legislators by chance?
Yes, we've had briefings with various statewide officials, depending on the state, and legislators in some places. There's a number of states, like Pennsylvania probably being the worst, where most of the legislators have no interest in getting to the bottom of this, even though Pennsylvania was not going to be a nail-biter state, in spite of people thinking that it would have to be one. You know, Doug Mastriano in Pennsylvania and Frank Ryan, those guys are examples of folks who do want to get the truth out about Pennsylvania. But unfortunately, they're vastly outnumbered by people who I would absolutely call rhinos. And I don't throw that term around loosely. But the Pennsylvania Republican Party cannot recognize that it is still a 7.5% disadvantage in the registration rules, because that brand of Republican Party does not resonate in that part of the country.
You know that they took over a good portion of the GOP in Pennsylvania, right? Like Berks County specifically, they took positions. Like they took what I did in South Carolina here.
Well, you mean the Patriots took over these positions?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, then that's how it needs to be, because most of the Pennsylvania Republican voting base is absolutely aligned with the America First agenda of the Republican Party. Unfortunately, much like the national brand of the Republican Party, Philadelphia and the suburbs brand of Republicanism controls the party machinery there. But that can definitely change.
Yeah. Yeah. So there are a lot of people that are out there now and they're starting up these groups and they want audits in their state, irregardless of how much they quote won or lost by. They just want to take a look at their tallies, look at their vote, see if there are things they need to fix. What, how do you recommend that people go about this process? They have to start with data, right?
Yes, we have to be very careful. And when you ask me about machines, I do believe that there are issues with machines, because the Bailey versus Antrim County case heavily suggests that.
Yep.
So look, Antrim County, the clerk was forced by the Democrat machine, or by the, even though it's a Republican county, the court was forced by the system to take the fall for the county error. Of course, you know, you can't open up a can of worms that with the machines have issues with it. But that team up there, Matt DiPerno's team, has made videos suggesting and showing how machines can be manipulated, and they are not limited to one particular brand of machine. So anything that has connectability to the internet or connectivity to the internet has the ability to be manipulated. So I don't get too far into Mike Lindell's packets. I don't go too far into what brands or it's all machines. I think it's many different types of systemic fraud. Obviously, COVID being used as a justification to throw mail ballots around everywhere should factor into this by logic. But yes, you have to start with data. I do not lean on anything, because my opinions and my, well, not opinions, my assessments stand without opinion. I could be giving these assessments as somebody who doesn't even vote, which I vote. But you have to run with data. Now, there's going to be a serious move, like in a heavy blue state like Maryland, like that you're spreading sour grapes in conspiracy that Trump won Maryland or that Trump won California. I take some heat sometimes because I don't believe that Trump won California. Now, I believe that California is rigged out to 30 points deliberately to make sure that Republicans never want to compete there. But I don't believe that every state was won by Trump. And so leading off with data, data speaks for itself. And this is an example of where an online journal called Michigan Live came after several people on that Michigan team. So I'm an expert witness to that team. They came after Phil Waldron. They came after Russell Ramsland. And both of those guys do impeccable work. And they picked at some cross T's and dotted I's types of mistakes. And then they tried to come for me, you know, former Army intelligence officer Seth Keschel, who alleges numerical discrepancies suggesting fraud. And they linked one of my early interviews, which is a 20-minute hit with a guy named Doug Wade. You can show this to anybody, any of these rhinos who like Trump's policies, didn't like Trump. And it's really hard to rebut because it's facts, figures, stats, and trends. So, what they wound up doing was owning themselves by posting a link to my best work. So this is the stuff that when you show it to people and you allow them, like with the Maryland folks yesterday, I was showing them county by county, and I blocked out the Biden vote totals for each county in a black bar where you couldn't see them. And I showed them the trend for 12 years. And I said, let's guess how many votes do you think that Biden had in this county? And then they would all guess. And then I would hit the next slide and that number would be revealed. And it's way higher than even the highest guesses. So, and, you know, comparing it with actual available figures, which is called open source intelligence. So we look at how many registered voters there are and where available party shifts. So like in South Carolina, you guys don't register voters by party. It's a little more difficult to figure out what the trends of each county might be. But here's a hint. In South Carolina, just about every county in South Carolina, with the exception of Charleston County and Richland County, are going to be trending Republican.
Yeah, but even in those two counties you just mentioned, the it's in unbelievable, it's unbelievable numbers for Joe Biden. It's just unbelievable. Like, not unbelievable, like, oh my God. Like, literally unbelievable. The same way that you probably got the reaction in Maryland. And, you know, it's an interesting thing that you're saying. Like, you're right. You can't have Trump down by three and let's say, I don't know, New York.
Washington.
Or Washington, right. And then have him, you know, like
also lose Pennsylvania.
Right, right. So they had to do something to mitigate that, so people weren't completely. If you're talking to Democrats, have you ever had a conversation with a Democrat lawmaker or a state official about this?
I have not. In fact, they are always invited to take part in these things. And these are things that are delegated out throughout. I'm usually reached out to by people in the various states. Like I told you, there was a woman in your state, who I won't drop her name on the interview here, but she reached out to me through a mutual friend to review the numbers in her state. And I hadn't really spent much time in South Carolina looking at numbers. But just for your listeners, there's 46 counties in South Carolina, and I analyzed the top 24 counties, which all had 20,000 more votes cast. 20,000 or more votes cast. And out of those 24 counties, 12 of them checked out with the typical trends that have been going on for 12 to 16 years. Then there were six that were very spotty, that depending on various factors like population growth or maybe the unveiling of a brand new high-tech center where 30,000 people from San Francisco just moved in, they could definitely be off, and they look to be off. And then there are six that are absolutely horrifically bad, even including red strongholds like Greenville County.
Yeah, Greenville's an issue. I mean, I happen to know South Carolina pretty well now because I'm here. Like, did you see anything interesting trends-wise? Because I think 2016, obviously, if you talk to Russ and them, they'll tell you they tried to do some shenanigans. They just didn't compensate enough for the swell of support that Trump actually had. They weren't able to identify that, so they couldn't counter it. But were there any real changes in 2016 from trends? Like, did you see a lot of Democrat crossover, or was there anything anomaly-wise in 2016 other than turnout that kind of messed with what the normal trend of voting was over the past, 20 years?
So the trends, people ask us all the time, when you study this stuff, are you accounting for the fraud that's been there for 20 or 30 years? And the answer is I have no other choice based on the information available to me than to analyze the numbers that I'm given. So this does not mean that there's not something systemic going on. In fact, I think that Hillary not auditing Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania should suggest that they did not want to find several hundred thousand fake ballots discovered that have been there since all these states supposedly turned blue and never came back, right? But most of the trends continued on, hence the bellwethers. Hence the complete bottom drop of the Democratic Party in the Midwest and the upper Midwest. And you have definitely the working class trends in those areas. I think the problem is the Democrat Party. California is also rigged to provide a psychological advantage for the national popular vote. So it's going to give them a margin of 4 to 6 million votes. So they make sure that that's so fat that they win the national popular vote. So if the Republicans win the Electoral College, they still have this PR narrative of Trump won with 3 million less votes. Yep. So that's not a secret. So they use that as a big cash cow. But another thing to consider is that they got blindsided by Trump's rapid pace in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and nearly Minnesota. Flipped Iowa big by, I think, a 16-point swing. Ohio was another 11-point swing. So you have these massive things that I think they got blindsided by, because the people that engineer these elections, I do believe that Trump won 2016 over fraud, but the people who engineer these are not going to look at the minutia of everything. And you can even see some of that present this year. I believe North Carolina, Georgia, Florida, Texas, and Arizona. So five states that nine of the last 10 opportunities in those states, 12 and 16, they've been red. Florida 2012 being an exception. But, Miami trended hard for Trump. I'm not sure that there was enough engineering done in South Florida. South Texas trended hard for Trump, El Paso area, South Texas, and North Carolina. The Northeast actually saved Trump, an area where he trended that part of the state, which is heavily Democrat. He trended it red. But much of the rest of the state, in spite of the obvious Republican lean in registrations, trended blue. So those states stayed in Trump column, but Georgia and Arizona were – Georgia was a surgical removal for 3 days. Arizona, of course, was engineered from the get-go, as if Trump's vote tally was known the entire time. So there are areas where they have oversight. They did not see anything. Like in 2016, they did not expect or see Trump pulling off the Rust Belt. This year, they were not caught by surprise in those states. And I believe the election was absolutely engineered from the beginning based on how many votes they thought Trump might get. I think they expected him to be at about 66 million. And then what happens is he comes in at 74. And that's why the count stopped, because they had to readjust from there based on what had come in. And then you have votes dropping in the middle of the night and then for 3 days. It was so dishonest. Even if every Biden vote was legitimate, you cannot present something like that to the American people at a time where the country is so divided. and expect people to just go with it.
Frank, did you want to say something?
No, it's just taking it all in. It's I don't know. It's, what do you want me to say? It's an act. It's a series of acts of war, if you ask me. Most of it psychological, especially when we're talking about the cash cow, the popular vote getting. In I really do believe that New York is part of that as well. They know that places like New York and California are really one of those psychologically surrendered states that are just like, oh, well, you know, those are deep blue states. I mean, that Democrats are going to win those easily. So it's very, all you got to do is just pile on a couple of million more and you'll always have your popular vote just out of those two states right there, because who's going to say, oh, no, it went the other way. So that on top of everything else. Yeah.
Real Republicans only get a margin out of South Dakota of like 80,000 votes, even in a landslide. So, yeah, if you could squeeze off these huge margins in states that you're going to win anyway, or even from the bottom, you know, like you squeeze off a few hundred thousand in Texas and Florida, then you're going to make sure that the popular vote is going in the Democrat column. And what happens is it makes it more difficult for the Republicans to unify the country under a presidential administration.
Well, wasn't it in 2016 that I think what was it? It came down to about 43,000 votes across several states. That really was the deciding factor of Donald Trump beating Hillary Clinton. So when you're taking something as slim as that, then you're always going to be up against that gigantic wall of PR for the next 4 years. Oh yeah, you won the Electoral College vote. This vestige of white supremacy and this and that, but the people wanted something else, as we can see by the popular vote, and it should be one person, one vote, and blah blah blah. And that's so, even if they didn't have Russia, they would have that for 4 years.
100%. It was 77,000 votes between Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania in 2016.
Crazy. So do you think that we're going to just I'm you know, are we gonna? So here's the one struggle I have in states like, let's say, a South Carolina or some of the safe ones, even though I feel like we should definitely audit this vote. We should forensically audit every state, in my opinion, honestly, just to see where we are. But what about when you don't have the support of your legislators to do this? Like, how do the people have any shot of getting it done?
We have to really hope that this Arizona audit, and I hate to say we have to hope for certain results, because the point of the I would consider, if you're truly trying to voice this, this is where statistics come in. I'm not a polls person. You know, we all have Richard Barris on the conservative side.
Yeah.
Now, Richard is the best pollster, in my opinion. And even he will tell you that polls can fail to capture certain things. I will rely on some of his numbers at local county levels, maybe just in consideration, but I use other factors to predict. But polling, sentiment polling, is much more accurate because it separates people from parties and candidates and allegiance to various parties. So you see all these numbers, and Rasmussen put out a poll recently that suggests 51% of Americans believe the election was determined by fraud, which is up 4% from the time of the election. So this is not trending in the favor of the current administration. You cannot have a nation, especially one constructed like the United States, that can survive half of the population believing that our elections are illegitimate. And, you know, if Arizona and Georgia's audit results are ugly, that show gross mishandling of the election and indeed a reversal of the results, that for the first time in the history of this country's elections, since the first contested election in 1796, that a state was wrongfully awarded in the Electoral College. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, what happens?
You'll have 65 to 70% of the country that will believe the elections in this country are legitimate. I believe there's 30% of the country that will believe, even if Joe Biden confessed today to stealing the election, they wouldn't believe that. Yep. But there's 20%, this Charleston population, this Plano, Texas population, they voted for Trump. We don't like the guy. You know, he tweets too much. Those guys are going to be enraged then. So what you're going to have is, if Arizona comes out to be as gross as it looks to be, then you're going to have a tsunami of angst. And as things get worse under Joe Biden's administration, everybody knows that things are going bad. Inflation's coming. You know, plywood is massively expensive. Just for example, gasoline's
We're saving 16 cents over last year this 4th of July, Seth. Come on. That's what the tweet from the White House said just today. Congratulations. Yeah, you're saving 16 cents over last year.
Seriously. On what? Hot dogs?
Seriously, like, look, go here. I'm going to do this with you live before I let you go. I know we said a half hour, but did you see this, Frank?
I saw some people making jokes about 16 cents. I don't know what the hell it meant.
Yeah, so the White House put out a tweet. I'm just going to pull it up really quickly. Bear with me. This is on the fly here. The quote tweets from the left and the right are both insane. It's really insane. Here we go. It says, planning a cookout this year? Catch up on the news. Har, har, har. According to the Farm Bureau, the cost of a 4th of July barbecue is down from last year. It's a fact you must heard. Hot dog, the Biden economic plan is working, and that's something we can all relish. The cost of a 4th of July cookout in 2021 is down 16 cents from last year. And they have a picture of baked beans, sliced cheese, ground beef in a skillet. Like, who eats these things anyway on 4th of July? But yes, 16 cents. Sorry. Inflation.
Yeah, and I don't know where they got those numbers. I did a routine grocery run the other day that in my mind was probably $130 worth of groceries in the cart, and it wound up being $245.
Yep.
So I think they've got their own little statistical engineers to try to counteract me that are more than dishonest. But to answer your question, if Arizona and Georgia's audits reveal massive wrongdoing and misconduct, and indeed there's this many hundreds of thousands of ballots that are illegitimate, kind of like we saw in New York City the other day, then you're going to have a snowball effect that will not be stopped. And people that are fretting about Michigan with their legislature full of rhinos, again, like Pennsylvania, people that are fretting about Pennsylvania, they're going to not need to worry about that because there will be no choice. I tell everyone, everything was once unprecedented in history until it happened. So every day history writes itself. Like, we are going, this will not last forever. Like, we cannot continue on this republic with people not trusting the institutions. And eventually, people subscribe to this defeatism, unfortunately, but things change. All we have to do is keep the pressure on. We need to pursue truth. And there are two ways to have victory in this. And it's not something everybody wants to hear, because we wish that President Trump was still in the White House. But the first thing is, we either confirm that the ballots are legitimate and that Biden's victory is legitimate, and therefore we have the faith that our system is intact, that we can put other people in office fairly, or we get the election correct. So I had an ad that was on the War Room, and that was my voice over the poker ad. And that's the truth. And that's the only thing that will sell to that 20% that we need to be convinced that we need audits. Because if it's just the base and it's just America first, we're going to be seen as conspiracy theorists and everything else. So I try to lead with enough evidence that you can look at it yourself that, yes, this is way off. And that's why people have a hard time fighting me, because I'm not really throwing my opinion on there. I'm throwing you the facts. And you can ask yourself, hey, how did Trump lose these states, which always go to the winner?
Can you send me the link to that voiceover that you're talking about? I don't think I've seen it.
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
All right, cool. And I'll put it in here. And so you're going to keep working. You're doing a lot, and you're constantly busy. And your Telegram channel, I'm glad you're on there, because Twitter sucks. And so I can point people over there. You helped me out the other day. I appreciate that very much. And we'll just keep watching what you guys are putting out. And, you know, people are asking you for specific states, and you're going through with the analysis and you're putting it out there. It's hard data. It's really, really helpful. And I really appreciate that the stuff that you've done and the work that you've done. And right before I was banned from Twitter, I shared that thread that you had written about, you know, your time in the military and how you felt about it and all that. And it was really touching stuff. So I appreciate you, Seth. Thanks so much.
Yeah, well, everybody listening needs to understand that a lot of people have a comfortable life here, and they don't want to do anything to jeopardize that. But, you know, many people want things to change, and they want stuff to change. But if not you, then who?
Yep.
So find something you're good at, that you're better at than almost everybody you know. That is your special talent, and put it to use. Because I had no idea that God was going to put me within the group of people that I work with today. And this is not a paid position, despite the claims of many people, as you hear that, right, Tracy?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
So get out there. Stop worrying about your pension and your retirement, because your pension and your retirement will mean absolutely diddly squat if the machine turns America into California. Your retirement and pension will be parceled out to pay for reparations and for illegal immigration and for every climate change thing that they need to fund. So start getting busy, act like you want to pull this country back, and get involved.
Amen. Good words. Thank you so much, Seth.
Thanks, Seth.
Yep. Thanks, guys, for having me on.